Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen. We might need medication tonight.
The sermon for today, the ninth Sunday after Trinity, I'm calling Salvation is Available. It is written by the Most Reverend Archbishop John T. Calhoun, late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. He first gave this August 9, 1998. Today, we go back to thinking about Jesus' parables. This morning's gospel is one of the most familiar ones. It is usually called the Prodigal Son. The close inspection shows it could as well easily be titled the Forgiving Father or the Uptight and Resentful Older Brother. Several weeks ago, today's gospel was composed of two parables. One was about a shepherd who left 99 sheep to look for 100, one which was lost, and the other about a woman searching for a lost coin. In both cases, Jesus makes the point that God and the angels in heaven are as happy when one sinner changes his ways as a shepherd is when he finds his sheep, and the woman is when she finds her coin. He says, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. The prodigal son comes immediately after these two other parables, and it is easy to see that it has the same basic structure. It makes the same fundamental point about how nice it is to be found after you have been lost. The prodigal son has more color and detail than the other two. First of all, we don't know why the sheep wanders off, and the coin, quite obviously, doesn't choose to be lost. We are given more of a sense of the character and the motivation of the prodigal son, who is a comparably lost element in this parable. The prodigal's first words to his father are, "Let's pretend you're dead." That's the practical meaning of, Father, give me that portion of goods that falleth to me. The prodigal goes off and throws his money away. He sinks so far that he winds up feeding pigs, a position very few that any Jew would hate. What begins to redeem the prodigal son is that he is able to make a realistic assessment of where he is, face up to the truth, and then make a sane decision about what to do next. He may have been a wasteful and foolish fellow, but he does not compound the problem by indulging himself further in denying reality. He faces the facts of his situation as they are, and he accepts his responsibility. The prodigal is, at this point, way ahead of many people who run away from the truth and look for someone to blame for their predicament other than themselves. He decides the best he can do for himself is to go back to his father and ask him for a job, not ask to be received back into his previous position of privilege, but just for a job as a hired man. His father, obviously the God figure in the story, does not even wait for him to get to the house. When he sees the prodigal coming, he rushes out and brushes off his request for a job and hugs him and kisses him and commands his servants to put together a feast. That doesn't mean that the father endorsed his son's bad behavior. It means that he loved him and had compassion on him, and his love and compassion outweighed other considerations. That is not a bad way to act towards people whom we supposedly love. There would be plenty of time to talk things over after the banquet. This is the point at which the two previous parables end. What was lost has been found, and there is great rejoicing over it. Remember that what made Jesus tell all three parables was the fact that the Pharisees and scribes were attacking him for associating with the wrong sort of people. What makes the prodigal son deeper is the character of the older brother. He was there in Jesus' original telling as a way of confronting the Pharisees and scribes with what their self-righteous, holier-than-thou attitude really looked like. He may well perform the same service for us. Being sympathetic to the older brother seems fairly natural. He reminds us of ourselves, well-behaved, dutiful, more sinned against than sinning, quite understandably resentful of what seems to be foolish generosity toward an irresponsible whoremonger. On the crassest level, the older brother was being silly. Under the Old Testament law, he was entitled to double the amount any other child would inherit, and nothing could take that away. The truth is that his father's generosity to his brother reveals what a mean-spirited, resentful, self-pitying character he really is. The outstanding characteristics of the father are his generosity and his compassion. The outstanding characteristics of the prodigal, after a slow start, are his pragmatic realism and his repentance. Jesus wants us to act as the father and the prodigal did. The clear lesson of the older brother is that thinking you are perfect and taking pride in it is going to make you so self-righteous that you cannot be happy when a sinner changes his ways. Not a good way to be. As Jesus says, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.